That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to part two for the episode Hook, Line, and Sinner. This is the second part, so make sure you've listened to the first part first, because otherwise you will have missed all of our delightful conversations about Mark and Callie and Arizona and Sloan and babies and adoption and many other things. Now this
it's
is
all
the
good.
Second part.
It's
we
great,
have
actually.
The second part of this conversation now. Who's excited?
Me! Teacher, I'm excited.
Alrighty, we're going to start with everybody's favorite segment, Living in Chondaland.
Living in
Chondaland. Oh, what a flair. What a flair today. We have one person.
Got a good run. Okay, one person. Dr. Tom Evans.
No, he was on Gilmore Girls.
Okay. I'm going to try. Well, hold on. That's the dad.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the dad.
Yes. It is.
I was thinking that it was going to be maybe an obscure person and it was going to be Tom Evans's patient.
It was not. I looked at her when I was on IMDb and I was like, who was this woman? I was like,
who
this
she?
Woman was not in the show. And then I was like, oh, it was the patient.
Yeah. So yeah, the dad, the Farger.
Yes. The captain, as it were.
Oh, captain, my captain.
Glenn Morshower, one of those, who played Walter, was in one episode of Scandal. In season four.
So, what did he do?
I don't know. Probably something crazy.
Some sort
That's
of scandal.
All anyone ever did in those shows. Made someone's life difficult, so Olivia had to roll on in and clean up a mess, I'm sure.
Or have sex with the president.
I don't think he did that.
But no, Olivia.
Know. Oh, yeah, she did that.
She only had two options. Clean up everyone's mess or have sex. Oh,
or
that other guy, too. Who was that one guy she had sex with? The other guy?
The senator?
No.
Oh, Jake?
Jake! Mm-hmm. Jake from State Farm. Mm-hmm. Or Jake Peralta.
He's so hot.
I think Fitz was more attractive.
I'm not surprised that you think that, and I very much disagree with you.
It's okay. We're allowed to disagree. Neither of them are any Huck, am I right?
Remember when Huck and Quinn just
spoiler alert!
Each other?
Spoiler alert! Spoiler!
Just licked each other.
Oh.
All the time. They were just licking each other in both like hostile ways and romantic ways.
Yeah, I was going to say, remember when they fucking ripped out each other's teeth? The way that they do torture at B613 is just something else.
They commit. They're on another level.
All right.
Okay.
So where do we want to start this episode? I feel like, should we just take 30 seconds to talk about Tom Evans?
Yeah.
No, that's a longer storyline, because it does also, I feel like we should just talk about the dad and the ship and the boat and the kid and...
No, let's start with
the hunt
Tom
and the
Teddy.
Well, I feel like
that's
all
connected. The same. Yeah, that's just all in this. That's all there's really left. First of all, April. Oh, my fucking God. Chief Shepherd.
Chief Shepherd. Jackson is so funny.
I love him. He's funny and cute. I was like, yeah. We'll flirt with me next.
Yeah. Oh, if I'm wrong, you can spank me, Doctor or
I
Chief
do
Shepherd.
Hope I'm wrong,
Chief Shepherd.
Oh, it's so annoying.
It's she. The thing that I'm really the most frustrated about with all this is she literally just told Lexi last episode, "I promise I'll never do this again. This is crazy. I'm so stupid." And then she's taken every opportunity to just fucking be a dumb schoolgirl.
Like, also, I love the conversation at the lunch table between Alex, Meredith, Christina, and Christina. Meredith. And yep. Christina's like, "That's not his thing," and they're like, "And Christina goes,
I was the love struck intern. Yeah, he's matured." Also, and then I Alex is like, "Nah, he's got power, so he's gonna fuck."
Love that Meredith is like, she's an intern, and Alex goes, "April's not an intern," and Meredith goes, "If you bat your eyes like that, you're an intern."
It's so funny.
Yeah, Alex is like, "No, take it for what it is. Take it, you know, you don't have to like it, but men with power like adoring girls." I'm like, all right, let's. I feel like any man likes an adoring girl.
Yeah,
or any partner likes an adoring partner or adoring person. People like to be adored.
We have adoring people all over the world, and we love that.
Now, that does not mean just because someone likes you, you should, you know, sleep with them, like destroy a marriage or a relationship at all. Yeah.
No marriage destroying here on the Grey's Anatomy podcast, Grey's Academy podcast.
Married also, or not?
Yeah, married or not. No destroying of the relationships. Also, know your worth, April. He's married, even if it is a post-it note.
Yeah.
Apparently.
He's Chief Shepherd.
Chief Shepherd.
And it's just like, it's just bizarre. And
the scene,
not subtle.
I know we're jumping ahead because this is obviously later on in the storyline, but when they're in the middle of surgery and she's like explaining what's going to happen next, and Derek's like, "Well, I actually just thought we'd do a little bit of catch and release." And she's like,
first of all,
and then Jackson
joke.
And Jackson,
terrible joke.
That's a great joke. If she didn't overreact, I would have thought, "Oh, that's so funny. That is a great job, Derek." But I also, the scene where you just see Jackson's eyes and Meredith, and they're like, "Ugh, this bitch." Because Jackson kind of throws April under the bus. She's like, "Oh, yeah, April loves Derek." She's like, "Oh, no, I don't. It's like,
oh, yeah,
he's a mentor."
Very word vomity moment as
well.
That
was uncomfy, too.
Like, oh, she thinks your husband walks on water. And she's like, "No, it's like a mentor thing. He's my mentor. He's mentoring me. He's just like such a good chief and like such a good teacher." And like, oh, my God, I love him. But
and you're
great,
too.
To
and,
like,
and
you're
great,
so
too.
Great.
Yeah.
And you're so great together. Like, wow. Everybody's so great.
I'm going to walk away now.
Yeah. So awkward. And Meredith's just like, "What is happening?"
Jackson has eaten it up, though.
He's
funny.
Into it. He's funny and so pretty. And then, I mean, we can just kind of skip. First of all, Meredith's like, "I still shave my legs." And they're like, "No, you don't, Meredith. No, you don't. Don't tell a lie." I honestly don't hate the moment at the end when she like goes into the conference room and they like borderline role play and have sex on the desk.
I also think that's great. I think people should come up to me and call me Chief Mugnolo and just
people
person. Named my wife. Okay. That's what I meant.
Yeah. So I don't hate it. I think it's like, whatever, you know, spice it up.
I agree. And did you notice there's one key component that she didn't forget?
She locked the door and closed the blinds.
Locked the fucking door. Yes.
Often overlooked in this show.
Gosh, I'm just like, Thank you. And she closes the blinds. It is cute. It's funny. And Derek's like, oh, I see what's happening here. Rips off the fucking belt.
No, he's taking off like a phone and then a pager. Every time I watch that scene, I think he's taking his pants off, but he's not. Because he sets things on the floor.
Got it.
But it does look weird. Because every time I'm like, are you about to whip your dick out? Like, this is cable television.
I don't know what version you were watching, but his penis did fully come out.
Oh, were you watching Netflix or Hulu? I was watching Disney Plus. On Disney Plus, he whips his penis out.
Yeah, I was watching HBO Max.
I see.
Or what was the Cinemax? Cinemax.
Yeah.
Never had that growing up.
Yeah. Okay.
Probably for
so
good reason.
That's a fine. Honestly, Derek is fine in regards to Meredith in this episode.
Yeah. He's kind of a dick about the Teddy situation.
Yeah. Don't like love the back and forth with the Teddy and Tom Evans situation. I feel like he's kind of losing his like people skills in this job in a way. Like he's losing his ability to like see people as people. He's only seeing them as like doctors who work for him, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so he's just like, well, first Teddy goes, I'm waiting to hear for a contract. And he's like, you were looking at other places. And she goes, well, I'm not anymore. He's like, well, how the fuck was I supposed to know that?
Yeah, I'm kind of on Derek's side for this.
Yeah, I understand that. But like the presentation of it is rude.
Yeah. They're both in the wrong here. She should have communicated, but maybe he should have had additional follow up.
Or maybe he could have, like, before he starts like reaching out to really high ups, like cardiothoracic surgeons, gone to her and been like, hey, are you still looking elsewhere or did you want to stay here? Because then he just doesn't waste his own resources of looking
exactly.
for other people.
Yeah.
So
I do want to backtrack a little bit to when we first get this in opening scene with Tom there. Christina is clearly a fangirl.
Yeah.
Meredith also is a fangirl, keeps a little bit more together.
Mm-hmm.
What I thought was interesting is also Jackson is kind of a fangirl too. And it's just funny because you would think that someone whose grandpa was Harper Avery, you really don't fangirl over anyone.
Well, I think you still, if there's like someone who is high up in the medical business or in the medical world, who's like actively doing things, like I think it's like cool, especially if you're still in the learning phase and they're like, oh, this is someone I can learn from.
Fair.
Like, I'm sorry if like some celebrity's kid still wants to like meet Taylor Swift. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that never happens.
Oh, well, okay. I was watching a TikTok of a woman watching the pilot episode of Grey's with her husband, who is a doctor. And when they get to the part where they're like, oh, did you know that Meredith is Alice Grey's daughter? And she goes, do people like know other doctors? And he's like, no.
That's funny.
I don't know if that's true, but that's his reality. And I thought it was funny.
Well, I'm sure if you're as like Dr. God as some of these people, they're making them sound, then yeah, you probably know who these people are. Or if you're reading like Doctor's Digest.
Yeah.
This week in Seattle, Dr. Ellis Gray performed a 16 heart replacement valve surgery with a
blindfolded.
Blindfolded.
Upside down. So, yeah.
With no anesthesia.
So,
but I thought that was an interesting thing, just in general, because he kind of, then that was the next scene was April word vomiting, confessing her love for Derek.
Yeah, in a way, but not really. Yeah.
Meredith definitely looked uncomfortable, but she didn't say, the last couple of episodes, she's kind of said what she meant. She said, hey, I'm going to defend my friend here, Aaron, so I'm going to hit you if you don't shut up. But she wasn't like, dude, I'm married to him.
Right.
So figure your shit out. Like, she didn't say anything in that scene, which I thought was
like,
very...
It's almost like, is this a joke? Like, what is this girl doing?
She feels because, pity for poor little like, stupid April.
Like, what is happening? This girl needs to chill the fuck out.
Yeah.
Which is probably true.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Good stuff. All right. So they send Tom Evans on his way, and they get paged to the choppers.
The trauma chopper. And Alex is looking at Lexi when these pagers go off like he's in love, but this episode was weird to pick up the vibes.
Yeah, this episode would have made more sense to me if it hadn't started off that way. Like, if he had just... Do you hear the dog? The dog is making so much noise.
I hear it, but it's okay. It's very,
he's singing
faint.
Songs.
Yeah. It's okay.
Like, why aren't you asleep? Watson, go to sleep. It's nap time.
Sleep, anyway. Little baby Watson.
And so, yeah, it was like, if he had just behaved the way he behaved the whole episode, but hadn't started out by looking longingly at her. I don't know if that look was meant to be some kind of other look of confusion or something, but it wasn't. It was just love.
It definitely felt love. It felt lovey. Yeah. Then he proceeded to just spend every waking moment. And it was all every interaction. Alex was coming from a place, it seemed like, of jealousy. And he was trying to bring Lexi down because she is just sporting her gigantic, smart, beautiful brain.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, I'm going to list a whole bunch of stats. What does he call it at one point? Encyclopedia Brown.
Yeah. Did you ever read those books? I'm assuming the answer is no.
No, the answer is no.
Yeah, I was big into Encyclopedia Brown.
Yeah, I never don't even know what that is.
Was,
I just assumed that it
was a little guy and he just was really smart and he would solve mysteries, but the mysteries were 12-year-old mysteries. Mm. I just remember one specifically where this girl was upset about something, but he figured out that she was just pretending to be upset because she had put a fake tear on the side of her face because he's like, oh, the first tear falls from the inner eye and your first tear fell from the outside. So you're faking it. I don't really know. I just remember that vividly.
Sounds like you shouldn't be putting people down for their emotions or how they express themselves.
Well, she was lying. She did admit to lying and putting a fake tear on her face.
That bitch.
I think it was something about a birthday and a cassette tape. Anyways, I do want to also say, while I'm thinking about it, people did say that they had also heard the Marilyn Manson rumor.
Thank you, everyone.
So you were not alone in that.
Maybe you're just your small town never got those updates.
It's not that small. Again, it's more likely that people were saying it and I was just not hanging out with the people that were saying it because I was lame.
You weren't talking around.
Like,
you weren't hanging out
Barbies.
With the... Those people out there are talking about some dude sucking his own wiener. I want to play with Barbies.
Who doesn't love Barbies?
It's right. True. All right. Okay. So, where do you want to take this from here? I don't really know I don't remember where we're at.
Oh, the people are landing in the choppers. I do.
Got to the chopper.
Chief Shepherd. And they're like, why would they bring a chopper for someone getting caught on a fish hook? Those things are teeny. And then it was not teeny. It's the kind for sharks.
Big
which
old
are large.
Fucking hook.
So these guys work on a crab boat. And it's a
they're
father
crab
son.
People.
And did you ever watch, what's that, Deadliest Catch?
Oh, hell yeah.
That show's
I was big
as
into
fuck.
Deadliest Catch. Gold Rush, American Pickers.
My dad was obsessed with all of those shows.
Wicked Tuna. Oh, fuck yeah. Watched all that shit.
One in Alaska or something.
Oh, yeah. Fucking. Anything that takes place in the Alaskan wilderness and limited resources, limited natural resources, overfishing. Yeah, big fan of all of it.
Yeah.
You ever watch? You ever do Counting Cars? You ever watch that one?
No.
It was American Pickers and then Counting Cars, and there was this guy. His nickname was the Count, and he would make over these classic cars.
No, did you ever watch Storage Wars?
Oh yeah.
Storage Wars is good stuff. Storage
Big
Wars gave me the delusion. It was like I could go spend $50 on a storage unit and I'll be rich.
Yeah.
That's not true.
I like how they progressively turned those shows into reality TV.
Yeah.
So they would be like, oh, the drama. They're upbidding each other. And then they would pan back to an interview like, I didn't want that shit at all. I just wanted freaking Carl to lose all his money on this one unit. I didn't know he had more money.
Like, well, they would like find a unit and there would be like a locked safe and they'd spend all this money and then they'd like pay a lot more money to have the safe open and it'd be empty.
Yeah. It's so funny.
Great. Okay. So Doug and Walter, father and son, come in and Doug like dropped something or like tied a rope wrong or let go of a rope and that caused Walter to like fall on the shark hook and almost die. It's like a whole thing. It's very drama.
And very briefly, they lead you to believe that the kid is actively trying to kill his dad.
Yeah.
There was a weird second about that.
I don't know that it's like brief. I feel like it's the whole time where he's basically like, I don't know if I did this on purpose. Like, did I subconsciously try and murder my father?
Because he's so mean to me and I should be in school. I shouldn't be a crab person.
That's probably true. He's 15. Is this even legal? Who's to say?
Who knows?
Then he throws up and Alex runs away. Alex is so weird this episode.
That one made the least sense.
Yeah.
Puke. All right, bye.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's one of those big-ass hooks.
So big.
They
so
start
Alex,
with
Bailey,
the...
and Lexi are with the kid. And Meredith, Jackson, Owen, and Teddy, and Derek, off and on, are with the dad. Because he also hit his head when he fell. So they have to like take care of the hook before Derek can take care of whatever is the head situation. But then Derek does the head CT and he's like looking at it and Richard comes in. He's like, oh, can I ask your advice? Why did you hire Teddy? What did you see in her? And Richard kind of turns back. He's like, well, what do you see in her? Derek's like, oh, she's really good. She's good at her job. I'm like, cool. So like, why is that not? Okay. Whatever. And then, Richard basically says he's not going to give him advice. I'm not going to do this job for you. Derek's like, ugh, fine.
The thing that I really
do
don't
it myself poorly.
I don't like about that scene is Weber's like, I'm not going to do the job for you. So that means I can do nothing. I can't even give you advice. I'm not going to do anything to teach you because I can't do the job for you. Derek clearly is not an innate like leader of leaders. He needs some help. And Weber, you have the ear of the person who can make the hospital a better place for everyone, including yourself. Just give the man a fucking word of advice.
See, I don't know, though. Like, I kind of am on Weber's side of, like, letting Derek become his own chief. Like, he needs to be the own version of himself in that position.
Yes, but he's completely drawing the line. He's saying, I'm going to give you nothing.
He asks, what do you see in her? Like, he gives him the moment to come to a realization on his own.
I don't know. I thought it was annoying. Weber was annoying me. Derek ultimately annoyed me at the end, but Weber was annoying me in this moment. I also want to call out the scene, because I think this is pretty early on, like, right before they start really deviating between Doug and... what's the dad's name? Doug and...
Walter.
Lexi just spouts all these stats about crab fishing and how deadly of a job it is. And then Alex is like, dude, it's like working with Forrest Gump. First off, why is that a bad thing? Like, she has a photographic memory. Use that shit. Learn from her. Ask her questions.
I don't know what his deal is. Like, it feels very unclear.
He's a punk bitch in this episode.
It's so, like, honestly, I would be fine. Well, I would be more okay with it if there was any explanation.
There
like,
is none.
There's no, like, give me some reason why he's acting this way when they clearly had sex, like, at least last night, maybe even more recently, because they wake up naked together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. IDK. So in that scene, though, Alex says, how much do you bet he did it? And Lexi's like shook. She's like, oh my God, he never. And Bailey's like, 70% accident, 30% murder. And Lexi is floored. And Bailey just goes, too much nature makes people crazy.
And it's true. Too much nature makes
people
crazy.
Too much anything makes people crazy. Too much time together.
Yeah.
Like, isolated in that way would make people crazy. Because they're out on those boats for months at a time.
Yeah.
And probably just the worst weather imaginable.
Yeah. And if it's just you and your dad out there, like, how are you guys finding time to just jack off?
I'm like, sure there's other guys on the boat.
Well, we're also jacking off.
But I'm also, well, yes, probably. I mean, like, what do you think happens on, like, any boat? Like, think of the Navy. They're all there. They're all probably jacking off.
Think I mean, they...
We just talked about Deadliest Catch. Mm-hmm. Bunch of guys mm-hmm. on a boat. I'm mm-hmm. sure there are bathrooms.
I'm just thinking...
places to sleep. They kind of jack off.
I just feel like... how are they getting internet reception out there?
Maybe they got it saved on their phones.
Yeah, there you go. They download the porn. That's funny.
Maybe they've got magazines. Those do exist.
Oh, going analog.
Maybe they're so physically exhausted at the end of the day that they don't jack off.
I can't even believe that. No, I don't think that's possible. If you're a crab fisherman, let us know how you jack off.
God.
But make sure to email Kelsey graceacademypod@gmail.com.
You don't need to tell me that. I want you to specifically tell Carmen in great detail.
No.
But leave me out of it.
No, I'm good. All right. There is also this tension between the father and son where the kid doesn't feel like he wants me. He's clearly very mad at Doug. He's like, you did this. You killed me.
Yeah. I don't love that.
No. Nope.
Have a little bit of, you know, ownership.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
What were they using the shark hooks for anyways? Were they using it to catch a shark to cut it up for bait? That's what I'm trying to figure out still.
I don't know. Maybe they have it as like a, just like a in case situation.
In case really the sharks attack.
I guess.
Sharknado situation.
I really have no idea what those were doing. So they have him. Also, Teddy has a cold, so she keeps sneezing like the worst possible times.
I thought that that was like a nervous thing.
Also did because she didn't sound congested.
Yeah. And also there were times where it was like someone would say something uncomfortable, whether like about Tom or about Derek or about the job or about anything that was like awkward for her. And then she would sneeze. And I was like, is this like a trigger? Like, is this like a. Yeah. Emotional sneeze.
It literally felt like this is how Teddy reacts in awkward situations.
Yeah. And you got to be careful about that because the sneeze killed Susan. So
she did die of the sneeze.
She died of the sneeze. Yeah. The singular hiccup.
And so they do whatever surgery they have to do for the dad. And everything is looking good. He's fine. And he comes out of the surgery, and then he is no longer fine. He has, something's happened. There's a hemothorax, and Teddy's like fighting for her life on trying to convince Derek she knows what to do.
Well, even before
and
that,
she's wrong.
She
in the first
wrong.
Surgery, yeah, when the first surgery, when they go to pull out the hook, we get
that's
a,
when
a
Derek
sneeze.
Makes the great joke that
well,
April
and
loved.
Derek is like a turd about Teddy, what is it that he says? And she calls him out about it.
He says something about loyalty, and it should be more about not. It should be more about being able
about
to do
loyalty,
the job,
basically.
Yeah, instead of who you know or whose friend you are or whose family you are. And I like that this show is all about parallels between the doctor's lives and the patient's lives.
Right, just but, the convenience.
Yeah.
They really get to work out all of their feelings every week with their patients.
But
are
it's
you intentionally
been...
equating me with the idiots on the drop the cat crab cage on his dad, or is that just a happy coincidence?
Oh, gosh. This whole scene. So then... And also, I like that it's taken 6 seasons and 20 episodes for someone to call out and break that fourth wall. And of course, it was Teddy Altman. And then they start to do the thing. He's like, all right, nobody move except for Dr. fucking Hunt. And she sneezes. Everything's going crazy. And then Derek just looks at her and says, God bless you. Then it cuts.
I cannot deal with that.
Derek, why are you? That was a dramatic and a dick move.
Yeah. So unnecessary. So unhelpful.
Yeah.
So then they're like scrubbing out and Derek or Teddy apologizes. And then Derek's just like, listen, if I don't hire you, like, no worries. It's not about you. Bitch, yes, it is.
And the way he described it, too, he's like, it's kind of making it sound like he's already made his decision. Yeah. That's what we're led to believe.
Well, Evans published and won awards, so I'm like, don't worry about it, but, you know, worry about it. But
yeah,
don't take it personal.
If I don't choose you,
immediately take it super personal.
Yeah, if I don't choose you, just know that it's only because of all of these accolades and all of these accomplishments and all of these things he's done. And then I like that Hunt kind of goes to her defense on this. He's like,
yeah,
she's got a bronze star and served her fucking country. Does that count for nothing? And Derek goes, yeah, nope. Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
Yeah, it was annoying, actually.
Yeah, so Derek was gonna do the hematoma after the hook, the Teddy sneeze, snagged an artery. They were able to finish the part of the surgery. And then after surgery, he was lethargic and coughed up blood. And there was a large hemothorax from where they took the hook out. Derek wanted to do other tests, and Teddy was like, no, I know what I'm doing. But then she was a little bit wrong.
We don't have time to see if you're right, Derek. And if you don't listen to me, it's because I'm a woman and you hate me.
Women in STEM. Unfortunately, I would have loved for Teddy to have been right. But she was not right. She was unfortunately incorrect.
Yeah.
In doubling down. I understand her reasoning for doubling down. She had no reason to suspect that he had pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
But alas, whilst this is happening, Lexi is like, why won't this kid's fever go down? And these other things, like, what's going on? And she's trying to talk to Alex about it. And Alex is like, I actually don't care because I want to do other cool things. So fuck you. And he's being a huge turd. And finally, Lexi goes to Bailey and she's like, I just think something else is going on. Like, why?
And you know what Bailey says to that?
I am Dr. Bailey. And I know everything.
And you know who else knows everything is our fucking regional sponsors. We'll be back after these messages.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Did Dr. Bailey tell you about your regional sponsors? I hope so, because we're back. Kelsey, take it away. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you.
You're fine. So Bailey lets Alex go, and she's like, why do you need him to be involved in your solve? Like, you figured it out. Who cares if he's being a dick? You don't have to tell him, because you know as soon as you tell him, he's going to walk around acting like he figured it out. And none of us need that, Lexi. Your brain is a superpower. And
this scene for Bailey is so fucking good.
Don't hand it over to Alex just because he's giving you dick on the reg.
I wish that was actually Bailey's quote.
I know.
Speaking of, where's Dr. Warren? She needs to.
So
has she had sex yet? Have they gone on their dates? How long has it been?
We have not seen if they've had sex yet.
Yeah. So Lexi keeps going and going. She's like, man, something about this. It's like, I know I'm right. And Bailey's like, I know, because I think you are right.
You are handing your power over to a boy because he's giving you sex. No, I'm not. I'm Dr. Bailey. I know everything. And you have a superpower. That memory of yours is a superpower. And to top it off, you're a good doctor. And yet you're letting Alex Karev treat you like a scut monkey. I don't care how good the sex is. If that's what it costs, you're paying too much. Whew.
Scut monkey.
Yeah, and then the nurse comes in with the results. And Lexi says, I'm right. And Bailey says, what are you going to do about it? So then Lexi sprints to the other ER, or OR rather, and yells, Dr. Altman, stop. And Owen goes, Dr. Gray, do you always shout at people right before they start operating? If it's important, yes. Owen, shut the fuck up.
Seriously, just because she yelled at Teddy, shut up, Owen.
So both father and son have Klebsiella pneumonia. And if you don't know what that is, this is a teaching hospital, damn it.
I was hoping. I'm so excited.
Also, let me just say, Klebsiella, every time I look at it, I almost say kielbasa. Kielbasa pneumonia. Klebsiella pneumonia is a type of gram-negative bacteria that can cause different types of healthcare-associated infections, including pneumonia, bloodstream infections, wound or surgical infections, and meningitis. This is from the CDC, by the way. Unfortunately, Klebsiella is beginning to be antimicrobacterial resistant. So,
oh no,
look out.
Oh no.
Klebsiella bacteria are normally found in the human intestines where it will not cause disease. They're also found in poop. So don't be touching poop. So yeah. It's, Lexi says it's highly contagious in closed quarters like a crab boat. So this says that Klebsiella infections spread by person being exposed to the bacteria, so it could enter the respiratory tract, which would cause pneumonia, or the blood, which would cause the bloodstream infection. But it also says that it's not spread through the air. So if it's not spread through the air, how would you breathe it in? That's where I was confused.
Yeah.
In healthcare settings, Klebsiella bacteria can be spread person-to-person contact, or less commonly by contamination of the environment.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Interesting.
Wash your hands a lot, basically.
Yeah, maybe someone touched their own poop and then cooked dinner.
Maybe. What should you do if you have a Klebsiella-related illness? See a doctor.
Well, I feel better about that, and this is helping round out my medical training.
And if the infections are not drug resistant, they can be easily treated with antibiotics. So that's why they take Walter to the ICU and put him on antibiotics. And he is fine.
Oh, it's so good. I love that. She gets the win. Alex, we'll get to that end scene in a couple minutes because that was another fucking good ass scene.
Yeah.
But we get kind of this reconciliation. We get insert Hamilton forgiveness between the father and son. And
but I don't know Derek, why he gets there.
I also don't know.
There's just a couple moments in this episode where I'm like, how did we get here? I like it, but how did we get here?
Yeah.
This is one of them. Oh my God. Yeah. I'm so sorry about this dog.
It's do not apologize. Just ignore that it's even happening. So Derek goes to the guy and he's like, do you like being the captain? And the guy's like, fuck no. But it beats not being the captain.
I love that scene. Don't you hate being in charge? Yeah. But it is better than not being in charge. I'm like, honestly, I kind of feel that.
Yeah. That guy is a Scorpio for sure. He's got to be. You know?
Yeah.
Because I have to be in charge or I can't
be happy about it.
I do have to complain about it. Yes. And then the kid comes in and he's like, my son, come to me, my son.
And he says, I'm sorry. This was my fault.
Yeah. I took you out of school too soon, kid.
Yeah, I just put you in the worst possible scenario.
Yeah.
And then the worst possible thing happened. So here we are.
Well, the worst possible thing didn't happen. They both lived.
That's true.
The worst case scenario is everyone dies. The ship sinks to the bottom of the ocean. And the crabs are like, new house!
Oh my God. People snack.
Yum, yum, yum.
Nom, 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 nom. Oh yeah, good times.
So let's talk about Lexi and Alex for a second here.
Yeah, again, confusion, still confusion. But the end scene is good. She goes into the kitchen. She's like, give me a beer. He's like, no, you didn't tell me what was going on with our patient. And she's like, why don't you start being less of a dick?
Seriously. And she calls him right. out. Yeah. Do you got that? Do you got that dialogue pulled up?
Surely do. You can't be an ass to me all day and then expect me to give you respect. You can't be an ass to me all day and then expect me to give you sex. And you can stop with the patronizing nicknames. I am a nice person who couldn't even bring myself to attempt matricide by Sweet and Low. That makes me charming to anybody else. I am a nice person and I am nice to you. So whatever your damage is, you better start being nice to me or I'm not spreading my legs for you anymore, no matter how much I may want to. Now give me a damn beer. Which we say, yay.
And then he kind of gives her a look of like, okay, I knew I'm falling in love with the right person.
Yeah, he's into it.
He's into it. But he's allowed to now because Izzy is initiating a divorce. You know? I like Lexi. I like her a lot. I find her both smart and attractive.
Just like my iPad just started playing music. So bizarre. Sorry, I'm listening.
That's okay. Yeah, so I like the scene for her because we don't get a lot of scenes where she really stands up for herself. But I did just remember that one time where she basically peer pressured Meredith into giving her liver to her dad.
Well,
so, yeah.
I don't think that's what it was. She was expressing her feelings. She was
emotionally.
She wasn't peer pressuring her. She was just asking her to say it. She was just asking her to do it. Please do this.
Emotionally contaminating the ethical field.
Okay.
The ethics board has reviewed your case, and your wife is dead.
Bomb, bomb, bomb. So, yeah, I like it when Lexi stands up for herself. I'm still unclear about why Alex was acting this way. Maybe it's because of the Izzy divorce thing. That might be the case. But just like bring it back up at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
To kind of reestablish the motivation for the weirdness. That's fine. I just don't get this. I don't get how we got here.
All they would have needed to do is zoom in on his phone where it's like the title of the sender of the text is lawyer : Izzy is asking where the signatures for your divorce decree is. Call me ASAP. And then he is a dick the rest of the episode. Like, we could have done something like that, guys. If that's his motivation, just be clear with it.
Yeah,
I agree.
That's fine. I don't know what else the motivation would be, so I have to assume it's that. Or the other motivation is, like, he has feelings for Lexi, so he has to do this, because that's, like, what he does when he gets feelings for people. Is, like, be a turd.
Yeah.
So, we didn't talk about when she tells Doug, don't worry, I thought about poisoning my mother with Sweet and Low once, but then I didn't do it.
And then Alex is like, yeah, we've all been through it. I tried to run my dad over with the car.
Lexi goes, that is not normal. It's not normal. Good time.
Yeah, this is a funny episode for Lexi. She's got the Forrest Gump, the Encyclopedia Brown, Sweet and Low, which actually Sweet and Low's kind of a dope nickname. So
that is true.
Don't hate. Appreciate.
I am into that as a nickname for her. So is there anything else with them and the dad and the son?
No, but I would like to continue talking about the Teddy Derek Weber.
Yeah, I was
going
to transfer
to
Evans and how we get to the elevator scene. So they have Evans. Christina's like up his butthole the whole time. Also like so oblivious, which I think says something to how much Christina loves Teddy that she can't even like there's no world where she thinks Evans is there to like interview for her job. She just thinks he's there to like do a procedure. She's like, it has literally not crossed her mind, which that's on loyalty. And so Teddy obviously figures it out immediately and confronts Derek about it. And that's when we get the like, well, no one here communicates anything. And so then in the elevator, Teddy's upset.
This scene sucks.
Tense. There's tension. Palpable tension.
You can cut it with a penis.
Owen like kind of starts comforting her. She cries. He hugs her. They have a moment. An almost kiss, really. It feels like it would have been very believable for there to have been a kiss right in this moment.
I thought they were going to kiss. I thought there was going to be a kiss. As soon as he, because when she starts saying something about being sad, he goes like he touches the side of her face and then he touches her shoulder. The
like
second
he's gonna,
he like
move, like brush her hair away.
Yeah. When I saw that, I was like, Hunt, if you kiss this woman and you've got Christina Yang over here, you better, you can't go back from that. And also, poor Mark. Mark is losing everything today.
Mark. R.I.P. Mark. R.I.P. Mark's feels. Would have just so sad. Smashing all of Derek's stuff.
Yeah.
Womp womp. Poor baby.
So, yeah, R.I.P. it was.
Teddy sneezing to death.
Poor. Yeah, the sneeze is going to kill her. So, I also. It is interesting because Christina, Teddy was like very much avoiding Dr. Evans from the get-go. And we have that scene where I guess we could take a pause and just talk about Dr. Evans for a second. He's doing this surgery. He promises this wife, he's like, you are going to walk upstairs and you're going to hold your grandkids next week this time, or my name isn't Dr. Tom Evans. And the surgery, and I didn't realize this until Teddy calls it out, but Christina didn't do anything on the surgery. She was literally just observing Dr. Evans. And she's fangirling, and he's like, he says something like, oh, have you decided what fellowship you want? And she's like, I'm only a third year. And he's like, oh, I thought I was speaking to a fellow. Mm. And that's when Teddy said, she does say this pretty cool thing where she's like, it looks like you barely operated at all. And he goes, that's the point, Christina.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
She's also borderline, like, but hers is
for
definitely
sure.
Not from like a flirty thing. It's just from like a, I'm obsessed with cardio god thing.
Yeah. Yeah. We, you know, we talked about the table scene. We didn't talk about how she walked up and Alex is like, it's like you're a kid with baseball cards, except they're cardiothoracic surgeons. And she's like, yeah, gotta catch them all. Gotta have them all.
So yeah. But I like later on when she goes to Teddy and she's like, why didn't you like, that's so cool. Like I did all this stuff. And Teddy goes, you know, your gloves were clean at the end of that procedure. Like he didn't ask you to do anything. Like how much are you going to learn from that man? He's not a teacher. I don't need you to hold my shit. I do it because you're talented and I'm trying to teach you. This man does not give a shit about your education or your career in general.
Yeah.
So like lock it down, figure out this man's trying to take my job. And Christina is like, over my dead body, will this man kick this woman out of this hospital?
Which we need to talk about this chain of events because I hate it.
Carmen is stressed, guys.
So,
the reaction he just physically had.
I'm annoyed. Also, I'm like simultaneously trying to get dinner plans while having this conversation. But this, I was waiting for this because I'm so annoyed and I hate it. The second I love that Christina, the second that she realizes that there is something strange afoot and it's malicious, she goes to Hunt and she trusts Hunt and she says, go talk to Derek Shepherd and keep Teddy her job because I love her. And Hunt goes in there and he's like, you should fucking fire Teddy Altman.
Yeah, you should definitely hire Evans. Teddy, if Teddy doesn't work here, she's going to move across the country and that's really ideal for me. So just like go ahead and not hire her.
And I'm like, Hunt, you could not have done a worse job fighting for your quote unquote friend.
That could not have been more of the opposite of what Christina asked you to do.
Gosh. And it's when Christina's like, go in there and say lots of words. And Hunt's like, I'm not 12. Clearly are, Hunt. Clearly well, yar.
I mean, obviously, he's doing it because he loves her and he doesn't want to love her. He wants Derek to make this decision for him. So he's not he's no longer trapped between these two women because he only has this one woman because Derek has fired Teddy, which makes his life easier.
So dumb. So dumb.
Yeah.
But what's going on in the background is you see Derek and Evans shake hands. So I felt like it was already a done deal that he accepted the job. So, yeah, that was wild. I was so annoyed at you, Hunt. You need... Where is your therapy? Where is Dr. Wyatt?
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to touch on that too, because we kind of just skate, like, now him and Christina seem fine. I guess the one day of therapy. I mean, like, this episode starts where the last episode picked off. He's gone to no therapy. He was throwing sausages in the sink at the end of last episode.
Yeah, poor sausages.
The beginning of Stallone's birth.
from sausage to healed overnight.
Yeah, so good stuff.
And that leads to
I did love that.
But, yeah, no, I really, that really pissed me off. I was like, Hunt, you are a selfish jerk turd butt. And then we get the scene at the end with Mark where he's clearly going through the shit. And he, Teddy walks up and he's like, please, for the love of God, tell me you're staying. And she's like, I'm staying.
Yeah. And then
the Weber scene.
Bad. Not a good look for Derek. Richard goes, hey, I heard you gave Teddy the contract. Like, that was definitely like a good call, right move. Like, glad you got there on your own. Loyalty is like the best thing. It makes for a really good chief. Derek's like, well, I offered it to Evans and he passed.
Clearly annoyed. Clearly frustrated. And Weber's just sitting there going, all by myself. And Derek
is like, man, this guy sucks as a chief.
Seriously. If only he had a place to get some advice from on what to do.
If only he could just give Richard the job back.
If only the board would approve the vote.
Yeah, that's really what it feels like is happening. It's definitely the board.
The board. Gosh, that dude has to get another fish inside of his penis or something.
Mm. You love good old penis fish.
Penis fish Jennings. All right. Yeah, that sucked. I almost feel a little bit bad for Derek because
I do not.
In that scene. No, I don't feel bad for him for making the choice, but it is. I understand where he's feeling frustrated in this exact moment where he's like, where he's getting praise for making the right choice. And Derek's like, I actually didn't. So go fuck me, I guess. And we're all like, yeah, go fuck you,
exactly.
Derek.
You should have made the right choice and you made the wrong one. The right choice fell into your lap out of necessity.
No matter how hard Hunt tried.
Hey, is there anything else we need to talk about before we predict things and rate things?
Just want to reiterate, love that Meredith and Derek boinked at the end. Jackson is a plus in this episode. April is couldn't be more of a dumb person. I hate her. She sucks. She's my George right now. She right now is my George.
Yeah.
She's so annoying. Yeah.
They were like, we got rid of this one. Let's just replace it.
Yeah. Who can we shit on for a couple of episodes? So let's see. Weber, Derek offered it to Evans. He said blah blah blah. Teddy's staying. Callie and Arizona kissing in the bed, but it's sad. They're definitely gonna break up. And I just also want to call out that I do like that Meredith, clearly she has done a lot of healing on her own with the show because she finds the April thing more comedic than threatening.
Yeah, there's definitely trust with her and Derek that like was absolutely not there before, and I do appreciate that.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's no part of me at this point thinking like, oh, he's definitely going to like take April up on that.
Yeah. So, let's rate it. Unless there's any other notes you have. Is there anything you forgot?
No, that was, I think we got it all. I think this is a 4.7. Very good episode. Big medical moments, you know, big old fish hook, big old mystery pneumonia, kielbasa pneumonia, big old birth in the apartment floor right out the gate. Just a couple, honestly, I think it would have been a 5 if there had been clarity on the Alex situation. And clarity on the, like, why the dad ends up apologizing at the end. Because we don't, like, we get a lot more screen time with the son talking to Lexi and Alex about, like, his guilt and how he feels at fault and everything. Yeah. We don't really get that with the dad where, like, we get to see him going through any emotions about, like, realizing that he is at fault for this situation.
Yeah.
So I would have loved to have seen him get to that realization. I love that he gets there, but I would have loved to see him get there. So yeah, I just think there's a couple of like cloudy moments in there for me. But other than that, I think it's really good. Like, we get just such great emotional work from Mark, from Derek. Owen sucks, but like, we get some good scenes from him. Like, the acting is good, but like, the character sucks, but like, he's doing a good job portraying it. Fucking love Jackson.
He really is great. He really is.
The emotional moments on, you know, the highs and lows with Callie in Arizona. I mean, they both go through it this episode and they just like portray it so well. So yeah, 4.7, so close to a 5. What about you?
You and I were very, very close. I'm at a 4.6, almost exactly the same. But I really wanted to hear all of your thoughts, so I didn't want to interrupt you. It's funny because as I was watching this episode, like, you know how there are some episodes where your heart's just like beating the whole time and you're like, oh shit, something bad's gonna happen. Like,
yeah. A Shonda classic. The Shonda stress.
I actually half expected the baby to die.
Yeah. Honestly, things were going like too smoothly. I was like, someone's gonna have to have emergency surgery.
Yeah.
Who gets to have it today?
We need to call Addison Forbes Montgomery. And that would have been great. So
they actually said in the blog that they did toss that around in the writer's room about like what was going to be the drama surrounding this birth. Was it going to be that there were complications and they were going to have to rush Addison in? And then they landed on, let's just do it in the fucking apartment. And that'll be like the drama right out of the gate.
It's dramatic.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, I love that. Love the episode overall. Good episode for Mark. Great episode for Lexi. Bailey, zingers.
Oh, yes.
Derek has some good moments and some not so good moments. Weber.
Good relationship, like Meredith and Derek episode.
And Derek and Mark episode.
I don't like it
episode.
As a chief episode.
Yes.
For Derek.
Yeah. Derek.
A good friend, good husband, bad chief. Yep. That's where I'm at with Derek in this episode.
Yeah. So, I agree. There should have been a little bit more closure. A couple of moments where we're like, how did we get here? And if any of you are Rick and Morty fans, you will know the TV show. How did we get here? And the guy goes, it makes you ask the question, how did I get here? So love that.
That was the question that I asked about a couple of things in this episode. So,
yeah. All right. Who do I need to predict before we can wrap this up?
First, Callie in Arizona is the big one.
They cannot be together. They cannot be together. What did I say last time? They're going to be broken up
you
before
said
the end of the season.
Two episodes. So this is the first episode. So do you think they'll break up next episode?
Yeah, I still think that the writing is on the
20,
wall.
And there's 24 in the season, and the last two aired together. Just to give you a time frame on like where we are in like the quote unquote wrapping up kind of storylines.
Yeah.
Owen, Teddy, Christina.
This one I need another episode because I forgot that Teddy was on a contract. And she wasn't a permanent hire. And I think
now she is.
So I need another week to kind of revisit this one, but I will say the almost kiss for Owen and her.
Red flag.
Big ol' red flag.
Yeah, don't yes. love.
Yeah, that is I'm downvoting that on Reddit.
What about Teddy and Mark? You want to still take a week?
I still think they're good. I still think they're
I mean, it's kind of wrapped up in the Owen thing.
Yeah, I need.
Here's the difference is Christina is aware.
Yes.
Of what's going on with Teddy. Not to the extent that it's going on, but she's aware that there's something, there's history.
Yeah.
Mark is over here in left field, just like bebopping along, dealing with his own problems. He has no idea. And I, you know, in my read, that's what she wanted to tell him at the end of last episode.
Yeah, I get
that. She was like, I need to be honest.
Yeah, I gotta wait. I gotta wait an episode on that.
Yeah. Okay, so anything with Alex and Lexi?
I have yet to see the healing that Alex told Izzy that he is healed on. He's like, I know now after all this shit that I'm worth it and I could be a good person. Then Alex, please start being a good person. Please start doing that. This girl clearly is enjoying you. You clearly enjoy her. Just have
a healthy
non-cancer filled relationship for once. Yeah. And I mean that both figuratively and literally.
Yeah, truly. So do you think he'll start being nice?
I think that we're going to see maybe a little bit of a nicer Alex, just to her.
Do you think he's going to divorce Izzy?
Yes. Feels like a foregone conclusion.
Just wanted to clarify. Yeah. Just here to ask the tough questions.
Yeah. Do you believe that Alex and Izzy are Alex and Izzy?
What about Weber?
I still think we're going to get an appearance from Adele somewhere.
And do you think he's going to be the chief by the end of the season?
Yeah, I think that's going to be the cliffhanger is
okay.
We've taken a vote to the board. Richard Weber, we're presenting you with chief. Master chief.
So then what
chief.
Happens to Derek?
Derek is going to die. Derek will get killed. Derek will die somehow because there's no...
In the finale?
No. In this show, Derek dies. Derek dies for real somehow.
I just meant if Weber gets chief, what happens to Derek?
He dies.
That he drops dead of sadness.
It's one of those slow multi-season deaths.
That's what they did to Izzy. Yeah. But then she didn't die.
Yeah. We went to go shoot Izzy and instead we killed George.
Womp womp.
It's all right. The show's better without both of them. I'm sorry if that's a hot take for those of you out there. I gotta tell you, as a first time watcher, it is great to not see George and Izzy all the time now.
I cannot tell you how much I agree with this. The first several times that I would be going back to rewatch this, I would start like after George died. It would just start at the beginning of season 6. Or even sometimes go later.
Yeah.
And be like, fucking Izzy.
I know that there are people for sure out there who their favorite character is Izzy, their favorite character is George, because they've let us know. They've messaged us. They've told us this. Yeah. But like
couldn't be me.
Yeah, I don't see it. And again, this is coming from someone who started liking Izzy right off the bat, but also that was a Katherine Heigl thing, not an Izzy thing. Her character is kind of annoying, and the deer in the back of the truck sealed the fate for me.
Also, because the LVAD situation.
I could look past the LVAD wire because I liked Denny so much.
I did like Denny.
It was secondhand love for Izzy that we got from Denny Duquette. Yeah. And... yeah, and then the deer thing, I think that was after, before? I really don't remember. Oh, yeah, because they got interns after that. Yeah. Or she got interns. And then George, he had moments and he got some good comedic timing.
Like, very at the end, they were like, this person's likable.
Let's kill him.
But yeah, it's a whole thing. And then also, I saw a TikTok and someone had commented. And they were talking about Izzy, but they called her, instead of Izzy Stevens, they called her Issue Stevens. And I was like, that's fucking funny.
Yeah, it's great.
That's hilarious. Issue, Dr. Issue Stevens. Dr. Emotional Issues. Okay. I think that's probably it on predictions.
Yeah.
Doobity-doop-boop-boo.
If you've listened this far, consider this your sign to join our Patreon at www.patreon.com/Grey's Academy Pod.
Y'all, pretty please. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please share us with your friends and your family. Share us on socials, tag us. I have been getting some tags recently, and they're not Carmen safe, so I don't share them, but I respond to them. Carmen does not see the Instagram messages, so whatever you guys message me there is safe, and so you spoil whatever. And if you want to like do longer, because I know Instagram will kind of cap how much you can send in a message, you can always email us at graysacademypod@gmail.com and I will write back from there.
Or send multiple messages in a row. It's fine.
That people do that because Instagram caps it. So they're like, oh, Instagram cut me off.
No cap.
So yeah, it's just great chatting with you guys, and we're looking forward to more of it. If you want to chat more freely, again, if you join the Patreon, you can get in our Discord, and we're typically in there on a daily basis. So yeah, thank you guys so much for your support. We love to do it. We love to see it. Please keep sharing us and helping other people find us. And if you see Carmen walking down the street, remember,
no spoilies. Don't think about it. Don't dream about it. Don't even accidentally do it. If I tell you I like Grey's Anatomy, we appreciate you all, and we will see you all in 2 days, because this is a special episode drop, and I just forgot. This is going to come out on Tuesday.
Yay, bonus.
All right, we'll see you all in the next one.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.